one.
Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom.
Welcome to our live presentation of the Israelite Church of God and Jesus Christ Radio Church entitled, Let the Truth Be Told. We first give honor to God the Father, Abba Nahwa, and to God the Son, the Almighty Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we would also like to thank them for giving us, the Holy Apostle and Chief, our priest, Tazadakia, the God sent comfort, for teaching us all things and bringing back these things to our remembrance concerning him and his word, so that the truth of the word of the Almighty God can be taught again in the time that we're living in. I'm your host, 13th Shield General, Kazak Powell. And today's teacher for today's show is 13th Shield General, Meshachiel. Shalom, sir.
Hey, shalom, sir. How you doing?
I'm well. How about yourself?
Wonderful. Glad to be here again.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Praise the Most High Christ for being able to be with us one more time. And also, today's reader for the show is 1 Shield General, Shalomar Gabbar. Shalom, sir.
Shalom, sir.
I'm well. How are you?
I'm too well, sir. How about yourself?
I'm good. It's good to have you back again, sir.
That's right. It's good to be back. Good to be back.
Indeed. So to recap, last week, 13th Shield General Meshachiel taught a class entitled The Truth About Beatitude. Basically, he broke down that the word beatitudes means blessings, and he was going through the class on how to get those blessings. The class was so much in depth that he actually had to come back and do a part two. So what we're going to do is we're going to let him explain more about what he's going to teach us today, and then he's going to go straight on to the class. So 13th Shield Meshachiel, I'm sorry. If you're ready, you can go ahead and brief us a little bit about the subject you're teaching, and then you can go on into the class, sir.
Yes, sir. Yeah, for those that was probably listening last week or anybody that's new listening today, they're like the general saying, the class called The Truth About Beatitudes. Just give like a quick recap because, you know, I don't have a lot of time on the show. Basically, like, beatitudes means blessings. And this is Matthew chapter 5. This is the first class that Jesus Christ taught when he first came in the flesh. And he got this class from God the Father. And God the Father sent Christ on earth with this class to show everybody how to get blessed after the whole world was destroyed by the flood. So basically, it was a game-changing class. After this class was taught, that's when Satan started to go downhill. And he started to really see a lot of, you know, it was starting to change. You know, everybody's learning how to be blessed with this class. So the first blessing that we went to was blessed are the poor in spirit, which was basically talking about those that are remorseful. You know, if you're remorseful when you do something wrong, it's supposed to be instant remorse. You're not supposed to be proud, arrogant, you know, saying this is how I do things, this is me. Nobody can tell me what to do. You're supposed to feel bad. If the correction is coming from the word of God, you're supposed to change, repent for that, and become a better person and start over and, you know, fix yourself. So there's the kingdom of heaven, because those that's doing this, basically God gave an example who the poor in spirit is, which is like children. And God also said the same thing about kids, that for there's the kingdom of heaven as well, because you can learn from a child to be remorseful. So we're going to pick up at the next blessing, which is at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4. Read that when you get a chance, please.
Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted.
So I said, blessed are they that mourn. Now, mourn for what? Like I said, like I was actually about to go through this last week, but, you know, we ran out of time, but we're going to go through this week and hopefully the rest of the class, trying to push for that. Blessed are they that mourn. Mourn for what? Is it talking about beating yourself like the Roman Catholic popes do? The Roman Catholic demon popes? That they actually whip themselves with cat and nine tails, whip and hurt themselves and make themselves cry to try to fulfill this? No. Mourn, it's talking about two different things. The first thing is you're mourning for the abominations and the evil that you see in this world. You're supposed to mourn and actually cry out to God because you're bothered by it. Go to Ezekiel, the book of Ezekiel, chapter 9 and 4. This is what you're supposed to be mourning about. You're not supposed to get proud, or you're not proud, but, you know, you came to terms with this world. Like, okay, you know, it doesn't really bother me like that. I'm so used to seeing people get murdered. It doesn't bother me. I'm used to getting people seeing get killed. Seeing people get killed. You know, you see a homosexual walk around, you used to that, it doesn't bother you. You're supposed to be bothered by a man walking around in a dress. you're supposed to be bothered by this whole situation with Dwayne Wade and his so-called transsexual son, daughter, whatever the hell you want to call him. He's still a boy. Imagine if he wants to call him his daughter. On that birth certificate, I'm sure it says male and his name Zion. So all this stuff, people supporting this whole homosexual movement, you're supposed to be bothered by that. If you claim that you love God and you're a real man of God, a real woman of God, you blessed by God, you're supposed to be crying out and bothered by the evil that you see in this world. Ezekiel 9:4, read that when you get it.
And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof.
So the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men, talking about Israelite men. So God is saying to set a mark to identify these people that are sighing and that crying for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. When it says cry, it means, you know, you're crying out to God. You cry out to God like, Lord, I hate this place. Please get me out of here. Now you're crying. You're like, you're walking around bawling. You could be like, you know, you just crying like tears just falling down your face. I mean, some stuff might generate tears. You're saying some stuff that's really bothering people's mothers getting murdered and stuff like that. Stuff does generate tears. But, you know, you see a homosexual walk around, they ain't supposed to just cause you to start crying. You're supposed to be, like, really bothered by the stuff that you see in this world.
But what the point is, like, you bringing out, people are really, really okay with stuff like that that's going on in this world. I mean, like, as long as you don't bring it around me, it ain't my problem. And like you bring it out in the scriptures that you supposed to be sighing and crying about these things. That's not right in any world that you live in. Yeah, that's crazy. But yeah, that's a great point that you're bringing out, sir.
Kind of, it's definitely. Like the Holy God, the Comforter, was saying, you know, when you got one, you know, when you see a young black boy get shot by the cops, you can't be like, oh, that ain't my son. I don't know him. No, if he got shot, that's like you getting shot, because it wasn't a personal vendetta against him. It's because of who he is. And who he is, you also black just like him.
Wow.
So that same killing, just like how he was killed, that could have been you because of the color of your skin, not because of the content of your character or because of a personal issue.
Correct.
So we can't say like, hey, you know, I don't know that nigga. No, he's supposed to be like that. If he got shot, you got shot. That's how he's supposed to look at it. So we're not supposed to come to terms with this world. You're supposed to get conformed with it, accept it. You're supposed to be crying and crying. You're supposed to be bothered by the evil that you see in this world. So if you're mourning and you actually are bothered by this world, then God's going to bless you for that. You can't talk about, oh, I'm blessed and highly favored, but yet your best friend is a homosexual. Your best friend is a lesbian. You ain't blessed and highly favored. You lied to yourself. Satan lied to you. So that's one thing we're supposed to mourn for. The next thing you're supposed to be mourning for is over Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, which is God's favorite land. That's God's favorite city, Jerusalem. God don't give a damn about Baltimore. He don't give a damn about New York, Chicago, Houston, Los Angeles. He don't give a damn about America, period. God only cares about his homeland, which is the land of Israel, and his favorite city, Jerusalem. You're supposed to be mourning over that because God's people are not in that land right now. You got the fake Jews over there, the Jewish people. They destroying the land, having gay parades over there, defiling the land, having war over there. So go to the book of Lamentations, chapter 1, and verse 1. You know, you're supposed to be mourning over the fact that God's land is being defiled, being destroyed. You know, we're not over there doing the things that we used to do, having high holy days to the fullest extent. You know, the different meat offerings that we had over there, the whole land was smelling like an aroma of meat. Like, you ever went to somebody's house and they was cooking something good, and you walk in, he's like, man, that smells good. That's how the whole land smelled. So, the book of Lamentations, chapter 1 and verse 1, read that.
How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people?
So this city is talking about Jerusalem. It was full of people, full of Israelite people. It was a full city back then. Read.
How is she become as a widow?
Come on.
She that was great among the nations.
So Jerusalem was a great city. It was great. You know, everybody knew Jerusalem. Jerusalem is so great, they still fighting over that land today. got the Arabs and the so-called Jewish people, they fighting over this land. That's not even theirs. Because that's a holy city. That's a holy land. Not Mecca. Mecca ain't not holy about Mecca. God don't give a damn about Mecca. Keep reading.
And princes among the provinces, how has she become tributary?
Come on.
She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears on her cheek. Among all her lovers, she have none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They have become her enemies.
Right.
Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction.
Come on.
And because of great servitude.
Right.
She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the streets.
Well, let's all talk about how Jerusalem is missing her people. Talking about us, the Israelites, all the so-called blacks, Hispanics, Latinos, and North American Indians in this country today. If you're a so-called African American, you from the West Indies, you from Haiti, Dominican Republic, you Mexican, Cuban, North American Indian, Seminole Indian, Puerto Rican, you are from Central America and South America, Argentina and Chile, you are the chosen people of God. You are the real Jews, and you are the Israelite people. The ethnic Israelites that you read about in the Bible, that is who you are. You're not African American. You're not Puerto Rican. You're not Argentinian. You're not none of that stuff. Those are the names that we were given by our slave masters. You are Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Issachar, Asher, just to name a few. So God misses us. I mean, God's favorite land, Jerusalem, misses us. Verse 4, that's the point.
The ways of Zion do mourn.
Yeah, the ways of Zion do mourn. So the stuff that we was doing in that land, we're not doing in that land anymore because we're not in there. You got the fake people in that land defiling it. We everywhere else around the world because we were scattered because of our sins. So we were taken into slavery into other lands. One main place we were taken into slavery was America. And guess what? This year, 2020, the Bible prophesies about a second exodus, and we're going back to our homeland, and we're going to take it back. We're not going to ask for permission. We're not going to, you know, go in there and, you know, sign treaties and sign paper. No, we're going to take our land back with force. Kick them out of our land, and we're going to rebuild our land, and we're going to rule from that point on in that land, and then take the Lord over from that point. So the ways of Zion do mourn, read.
Because none come to the solemn feast.
So we was having our high holy days, the feast, talking about the feast days, the real feast days, Tabernacles, Passover, Feast of First Fruits, Hanukkah. You know, not Christmas, not Thanksgiving, not Halloween. Those are the feast days of the devil. We're talking about the feast days of God. We're going to go back to the land, and we're going to do it up like we used to do back in the day. Keep reading.
All her gates are desolate.
Come on.
Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted. And she is in bitterness.
So, yeah, the land was mourning. We're supposed to be mourning for that land, our homeland, which is Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the motherland. When you read the book of Galatians 4 and 26, the motherland is not Africa, it's Jerusalem. So go back to Matthew 5 and 4, please.
So as you bring it out, mourning, you know, people, you know, they hear mourning, they're thinking, you know, people, somebody has died, and, you know, you weep in tears of sorrowfulness. But like you're saying, you bring it out point through the scriptures that you're supposed to be upset about the defiling of the land, the wicked things that are going on here, and we should also be upset that our land, our homeland, which is outside of Jerusalem, is not being inhabited by us as a people.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if somebody died, you know, you mourn for that, but that's not the mourning that God is talking about, because Ray Ray got shot on the corner because he was being a demon. He was selling drugs. He killed the community, and everybody said, RIP, rest in peace, Ray Ray. No, Ray Ray more likely is in hellfire. For being a demon and killing his own people, killing the community, helping the government destroy our people. Y'all saying RIP to this guy?
Yeah, it's crazy.
No, that's crazy. That ain't the mourning that God's talking about. So, and we're gonna get more proof that it's talking about mourning for the homeland. Go read Matthew 5 and 4 again.
Blessed are they that mourn.
So blessed are they that mourn. Mourn for what? Mourn for sighing and crying because of the evil that you see in this land, and mourning for your homeland, Jerusalem, read.
For they shall be comforted.
Yeah, you're going to be comforted. Meaning God's going to give you a message that there's a better place and a better world for you. America's not it. Bible said it's not our rest. So God didn't expect us to get comfortable here, which is the problem with our people, black people in America. They're comfortable. They want to sit at the table, sit at the table with the enemy, and think y'all gonna be on the same page, same level. Nah. Some of y'all might, but y'all being used for a high purpose, and they're gonna basically just toss you like a piece of trash. But God got a message for you. Those that sign and crying this morning, this is what God got to say for you. Go to Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1. God got a word for those that's in mourning. He said that you're going to be comforted, for they shall be comforted. This is how God's going to comfort you. It ain't going to be with diamonds and, with a lump sum of money. It's not going to be with, living your best life in America and get the biggest house and the nicest car so you can be comfortable here in the land of your captivity. That ain't the comfort that God got in mind. Go to Isaiah 61 and verse 1. Read that.
The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me.
That's the prophet Isaiah. Come on.
Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek.
So the good tidings come out the gospel, unto the meek. The gospel is the good news that what? God got a better, he's got a better world for us, a better place for us to go. This is not our rest. God got something better for us. Well, you ain't got to pay taxes, and you ain't got to go to work at 5 o'clock in the morning. You working two weeks straight just to get a check, and next thing you know, a third of your check is taken out for taxes. Then you file at the end of the year. You don't even get most of that back that they took out. And then you got other stuff being taken out that you didn't even sign up for. Y'all comfortable here with that? So, no, God got a better place. And we're going to talk about the meek, too. That's the next thing we're going to talk about. Keep reading.
He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted.
Come on.
To proclaim liberty to the captives.
Yeah, that's actually the second demand that God had us to go out to demand to the United States government. Free our brothers that's in prison. To proclaim liberty to the captives. That's what God gonna let them free. The ones that get right and repent and want to do God's will, they're gonna remain free.
Opening of the prison to them that are bound.
That's talking about, yeah, that's right there, talking about those that's in prison. God is going to release out people that's in prison. You know, a lot of them in there for stuff they didn't do, some of them for stuff that they did, but they probably got an unjust sentence for what they did. Keep reading.
To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord.
Come on.
And the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all that mourn.
To do what?
To comfort all that mourn.
Yeah, just like we read in Matthew 5 and 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. He's going to comfort the mourning. What are you going to give the people that's mourning? Verse 3, come on.
To anoint unto them that mourn in Zion.
That mourning where?
That mourn in Zion.
Some of the Israelites. Those that's an Israelite that's mourning in this land, what is he going to give them? Come on.
To give unto them beauty for ashes.
Yeah, beauty for ashes. Back then, when our people was in a state of mourning, they put sackcloth on them. Restored humility. It took off all that good, goodly apparel, all that best stuff, and they put on sackcloth, something that was more humbling, and they put ashes on their head. It was a sign of mourning. So instead of us having ashes, God's going to replace those ashes with beauty. Read.
The oil of joy for mourning.
Yeah, instead of us mourning, he's going to give us joy. Read.
The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
So instead of us having a spirit of heaviness, he's going to replace that with a garment of praise. We're going to be praising God because guess what? We're going to be back in our homeland doing the things that we used to do. Back during the holy days, celebrating the Sabbath the right way, like how we used to do back in the past, to a full extent, keeping the laws, everybody righteous. You ain't got to worry about home invasions. You ain't got to worry about your kid going to the store, wondering if they're going to get kidnapped, shot, stabbed, get caught up in a life of crime. You got to worry about that no more in a good, righteous society. Read.
They might be called trees of righteousness.
Come on.
The planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified.
So that's how God's going to comfort us with beauty, oil of joy, and garment of praise. So go back to Matthew's. Let's go to Matthew's 5 and 5.
That's a very beautiful talk about, thing to know. Very beautiful thing to know that, for all the mourning that we've done as a people, for all the atrocities that we suffered, and when we crying out to the Lord our God for all these things that have happened to us and the things that we're going through, we're going to be rewarded for that. We're going to be comforted. He's going to give us a garment of praise, oh, wow, you know, it's very, you know, great to know. And a lot of people, a lot of our people walking around without hope, and they don't know these words. So this is the reason why we have this show, so that we can bring these things out.
Yes, sir, definitely. Definitely, definitely. And the last point we're going to hit, Satan really got people's minds mixed up with this one. Because I've heard a lot of people say this on unit work. They'll try to proclaim this to try to prove a moot point that they're talking about. Go to Matthew 5:5. Read that when you get it. Matthew 5:5. This is the last point that Satan really got people's mind twisted up about. They don't have no understanding on this scripture right here. Read that when you get it.
Blessed are the meek.
Blessed are the who?
Blessed are the meek.
Uh-huh.
For they shall inherit the earth.
Yeah, meek. Blessed are the meek. You know, a lot of times you look up, think about meek, you think about humble, being humble. But being humble is just not, that's not the whole story of being meek. Go to Matthew 11:28. There's more, being humble is not, that's not the whole story when you're talking about somebody being meek. There's more to this being humble, but it's a whole condition around being humble and everything that's involved with it. Because you could be humble, somebody can correct you, and you can be humble, but that's not being, that's not really exactly being meek. Person that's correct is correct. You gotta just take that because you were wrong, and that's being humble. But it's more to that. They go hand in hand, but it's more to that story. Matthew 11:28. Read.
Come unto me, all ye that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Come on.
Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart.
That's what Christ said. Christ said, I am meek and lowly in heart. Did that mean he was walking around slow? He was taking baby steps? Does that mean that he, you know, does that mean that? No. What did Christ mean when he says, I am meek and lowly in heart? Read.
And ye shall find rest unto your souls.
Uh-huh.
For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
And my burden is light. So when Christ said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Who is the meek? That's why you got to thank God for the precepts. Because God gives a chapter that goes into what being meek is. Go to Psalms 37:1. King David talked about it. You go to Psalms 37:1. You got the righteous man, King David, that at that time was given the Holy Spirit by God to break down who the meek is and what it means to be meek. And so that's what Christ, when Christ said, I am meek and lowly, what does that mean? Like, what does that entail? Psalms 37:1, read that.
Right not thyself because of evildoers.
That's what it means to be meek. Being meek means that you're in a situation where somebody's doing evil to you, you see evil being done, and you're not worried about that. You're not contemplating what somebody did to you. Somebody could do something real messed up to you. Not saying you can't be bothered by it, but you're not going to sit there and, you know, you can't even get through the rest of your day because of what they did. You can't eat, you can't sleep, you can't work, you can't operate, you almost crash in your car, you can't drive. That's fretting. You're not supposed to fret over what somebody did to you. You know, you just can't get over. You can't let it go. And they get away, and it seems like they're getting away with it. That's the thing. It seems like they're getting away, but they're not. God's going to get that person in due time. God's going to get that person when he wants to get that person, not according to your time. Stuff don't work on your time. Stuff work on God's time. God do stuff on his time. That's where the humility comes in. You got to wait on God. That's what it means to be meek. It's more just being humble. It's somebody doing something to you, and then the power's not in your hand. You got to wait on God for them to fix the situation. Because that person that's doing evil to you look like they're getting away. Somebody cussed you out, and then, you know, ain't nothing happened to them yet. They still got their job. Somebody could have got you fired from your job. They still got theirs, and you're struggling. No, God's going to get that person in due time. You got to wait. So fret not that stuff because of evildoers. You got to move on with your day. Read.
Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity.
Yeah, but don't be envious of somebody that's being evil. Somebody that's evil and look like they prosper more than you. Cool, more power to them. But just because you're doing the right thing, don't let Satan play with your mind and make you feel like you're doing something wrong. man, maybe I might be because I think I'm just being a little bit too nice. I need to stop being so nice. If you can't beat him, join him. No, now you let Satan get to you. You're not supposed to be like, oh, I'm just being too nice. No, God says in the Bible, you know, they should heap upon themselves hot coals of fire. Somebody being mean to you and disrespectful to you, you continue to be righteous. And guess what? They actually are doing more damage to themselves and more than they're doing to you. It just didn't catch up to them yet. Verse 2, read.
Trust in the Lord and do good.
Verse 2.
For they shall soon be cut down like the grass.
For they what?
For they shall soon be cut down like the grass.
Yeah, that's why God said don't envy them. Because in due time, they're going to be cut down like grass. You know, Bible says, you know, because sentence against the evil word is not executed speedily, it is set in the hearts of in the heart of man to do evil. So because people don't get judged right away, guess what? It's in their mouth. I'll get away with this. It's not happening to me yet. You know, I ain't doing nothing wrong. So guess what? That's the problem. It's just a matter of time before God gets you. So that's why you don't envy somebody that's evil. Because in due time, God's going to get them, and he might allow you to see it. And it ain't going to be pretty. Could be a car accident, get shot, electrocuted. You don't know how God gets you any type of way. But at the same time, you're supposed to be waiting around. Somebody give you a phone call, hoping it's bad news. So for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, read.
And wither as the green herb.
Keep reading.
Trust in the Lord and do good.
Come on.
So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed.
So this is part of being meek. You got to trust in God. He's going to fix the situation. I'm taking matters into your own hands. You got to trust God. Verse 4.
Delight thyself also in the Lord.
That's another part of being meek. You got to delight yourself in God. You got to have the attitude that I'm happy to serve God no matter what I'm going through. Catching hell on my job, being oppressed by my boss, my coworkers, are getting on my nerves. Still supposed to be happy to serve God in the fact that you're in the truth. Don't let that be the reason that takes you away from serving God and throw you off focus. Because you feel like God ain't on your side. Man, they still prospering. They getting new cars and more money, and you struggling. Your car breaking down. You catching hell at home. Your finances aren't like you want them to be. No, God can turn all that stuff around like that. God calls it potter's clay. It's like how a potter can take clay and remold what he wants out of that clay. God can do the same thing with this situation. So you're still supposed to be happy to serve God. Keep reading.
And he shall give thee the desires of thine heart.
Yeah, God will give you whatever you want. If you focus on being meek and you're all about God and not worried about the wicked, God will give you the desires of your heart. Don't be worried about what somebody do to you. Yeah, it might affect you, but don't focus on that. Just focus on God and what he's going to do. And focus on serving him. And he's going to give you the desires of your heart. Verse 5, keep reading.
Commit thy way unto the Lord.
Yeah, commit your way unto the Lord. You got to trust in God and promise to do things his way and not yours. A lot of times people want to take matters into their own hands, and they completely just ruin their whole situation even more. I'm going to get them a piece of my mind. Next thing you know, you cut somebody out, you get locked up, you lose your job. You could have kept the job if you just handled it the right way. Now you got a record. Yes, sir.
We're coming to the point again where we're about to run out of time, so we got to get the accolades of the show up where, you know, we give thanks to the Lord our God, Abba now, God the Father, and the Almighty Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We want to let the people know that they can get more information at these couple of websites. It's thecomforter.info and also truth@icgjcmd.org. Definitely tune into the Blog Talk Radio Show, Let the Truth Be Told, on Sundays from 3 to 3:30 p.m. And we appreciate everybody who was able to participate. And thank you again, 13 Shield Gentleman Shaki Hall, for teaching the class as well. And Salama Gabbar for reading for us again.
Yes, sir. My pleasure.
So we also like to say stay tuned because we'll definitely have 13 Shield General Mashakio back to teach another class at another time. So, again, we'd like to say thank you and appreciate you all for coming. Shalom.
Shalom. Shalom. Shalom.